Hello, everyone. This is Hockey Talkie. I'm Travis. I got Jesse with me here. Let's talk about playoffs.
Yeah, we've skipped a couple rounds, but we are here. Stanley Cup Final starts on Monday, which is tomorrow. That's pretty exciting stuff. One team we kind of expected to be there in Penguins, sadly.
I didn't want
them
to.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course, as a Caps fan, that Game 7 was crushing.
Okay, before we get too far, let's just go back and talk about the round that we missed and then the stuff that just finished up now.
Yeah, we'll go through each section there, give you some highlights, some guys to look out for next year kind of thing, just some general ideas of how the teams are trending, directions and stuff like that.
So Nashville-St. Louis, Nashville won 4-2.
Yeah, I think we both had Nashville winning this series.
After what they did in the first round, we were kind of like, okay, they might be the real deal.
Yeah.
Their scoring comes from everyone, apparently.
Yeah, their defense, they have the top four defense scorers, I think, right now, minus a few superstars like Carlson, etc. But yeah, their defense is amazing. St. Louis didn't even really show up in that series, I felt.
No.
They had a couple close games early in the first couple games, like a couple 2-1s that looked like they had some life, but... I don't know. St. Louis didn't really impress me, so I don't know what they're going to do with this team net going on.
I like St. Louis, though. Like, I feel like they have the tools to win, but you always say that they're a bad team. You're always like, oh, St. Louis is a bad team.
I just don't like playoff St. Louis. I don't know. They just can't get it together. It's weird. They have no depth scoring. Like, Tarasenko got kind of shut down that Nashville series, and then that was... pretty much it.
Well, you can't line shuffle when Nashville has all the defense that they
have.
Yeah,
when you have six defense, you can't really get around. So, yeah, they just got outmatched. I think I remember saying that Nashville was like St. Louis, just like on steroids kind of thing. Like the every part of their team is better. To me, that was no surprise there.
Rene is doing amazing.
Yeah, Rene is Conn Smythe discussion. I didn't think that would be what we'd be talking about right now. Rene has been a good goalie, you know, sometimes great, but I wouldn't say as elite as he's been. That's kind of a surprise to me, for sure.
He's been really good. Remember last podcast we were talking about, like, how the goalies get worn down and stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
He seems to be rising to the occasion.
Yeah, he's playing well. I think he only let in more than 3 goals, I think, in one game the entire playoffs, I think it was.
Yeah, his save percentage is crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. So he's doing fantastic.
Would you draft him next year?
Yeah, for sure, I draft him. But I remember we talked about this last time. Goalies, who cares in the playoffs? They're going to do good. They always show up, right? Players for St. Louis, we'll talk about the eliminated team since we don't move on from there. Steen, Schwartz, Tarasenko, the usuals. I know you like Parayko now. He's going to be number one there.
Yeah.
He looked good on the Canada team. Yep. Unfortunately, Canada couldn't win the gold against Sweden, which is kind of a bummer for us. But whatever. Sweden won it. They earned it in the shootout. That's okay. The only other player I bring up is like Sobotka for St. Louis, I think, is a good pickup next year. He looks like he has some offensive talent. He has a wicked wrist shot. So I think he's definitely someone to look out for on that team.
And he's kind of an unknown name,
yeah,
I guess, in quotations.
Yeah, he's been bouncing around the KHL for a while. So he's definitely a guy I would put on your sleeper list now for next year. I know it might be a little bit early to prepare for that. But
nah, we do fantasy hockey all year round.
But I don't stop thinking about it. So he's definitely a guy I've already been mentally trying to place where I would draft him. So that'd be my number one sleeper for St. Louis. Other than that, just the usuals to draft. I don't see this team making any huge splashes in the offseason or anything, so we'll have to see.
No. So your number one is Sobotka?
Yeah, for a sleeper kind of thing, Sobotka, yeah. I think Steen will be okay again. I think Schwartz will be much better next year. And then the rest are no-brainers, obviously. I mean, Tarasenko is going to be an 80-point guy. And
Parayko now is kind of on the radar.
Yeah, Parayko's number one. I don't know if he's a 55-point guy yet or anything like that, but I think he'd be a good third, fourth defenseman kind of thing, maybe even second. It depends how late you draft a defenseman. But his value definitely has gone up with the loss of Shattenkirk, and Pietrangelo isn't a very offensive defenseman. As we saw in the playoffs, he didn't really do anything. So.
Yeah. Okay, let's not talk about Nashville. Let's just wait till the
exactly.
The next round. Okay, yeah. Then the Ducks and Oilers. Ducks eliminated the Oilers in 7 games. That was a crazy game to watch.
That was such a heartbreaking series.
I thought the Ducks were going to the final after that series.
I thought the Oilers would be the toughest team they would face Yeah. That, just the way that they match up against her. But that was an insane series. Probably one of the best ones I've seen in this playoffs. It was just nuts to the end. So
for the Oilers, is there anyone that's under the radar? Everyone knows the
I'd say no, honestly. Like,
do people know Klefbom?
Maybe
enough?
Some defense. Yeah, maybe Klefbom. Even then, it's tough because it's like the guys that were scoring that weren't the good guys are undraftable. Like Desharnais got some goals.
Well, Letestu.
Letestu is. It depends what they do in the offseason. If they keep Letestu on that power play, then he's definitely worth drafting because he just chisels free points every time he's on the power play.
Yeah. Power play specialist.
Yeah. I mean, but beyond that, the big two, Draisaitl, McDavid, are obviously going to be drafted very high. Lucic didn't look very good. I guess the only thing I say is Eberle looked terrible. I don't know if that's going to translate to his next regular season, but he looked really awful. We'll see if he even stays on the team this offseason. I'm kind of excited to see what Edmonton does.
Okay, now that's an interesting question. We just talked about guys on St. Louis that we would pick up. What about guys that we will not? Like someone that you're like was hovering around that draftable, but then all of a sudden there's like, no.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen enough of that guy.
Yeah, Eberle's the guy I just would never own on my team. I just can't ever see myself being in a position where I would take Eberle, barring like a freak late two round, which would never happen kind of thing. I don't know. Do you like Eberle? Like, I mean, same with the Nuge. They're both kind of like up and down.
I've had them both on my team in the past, and they both burned me.
Yeah, I mean, Eberle had that one fantastic year. We got the 76 points or whatever, but beyond that, he didn't do himself any favors in the playoffs for a guy who's supposed to be like, you know, quote unquote clutch player, you know, juniors guy, like super big minutes time. Like just, he was invisible.
Even in like the Worlds, they didn't play very well.
Yeah. No.
Because Eberle was still playing there and he hadn't had a goal in what is like some ridiculous
that
stats.
Surprise me,
yeah. It was crazy.
I think, I don't know. Is it, I think he's peaked. I think he's done. I mean,
he needs a new team.
Yeah, exactly. That was the next thing to say. Look for Eberle on a new team. Give him some fresh air or something. Obviously, it depends where he goes. But, yeah, if I had my takeaway for sure was just how bad Eberle looked. So, he's definitely a guy that I'd have on, like, a bust list for next year.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, not a big fan of him. I'll leave him alone now.
All right, let's go to the Ottawa Rangers. Ottawa won 4-2. Rangers, Lundqvist didn't really have to do much, but Ottawa still won.
Yeah, Rangers had a lot of collapses, I think. They had a lot of leads. I think they had a 4-1 lead. Peugeot came back, scored four goals. He looked fantastic. Rangers, again, not a Rangers fan. I think the team kind of sucks, to be honest. Lundqvist, I'm sure he'll be back again next year, another year older. I think he's 38 now, and he starts next year kind of thing.
He's kind of on the downhill a little bit.
He looked good in the Sweden game. I mean, in the gold medal game, but that's a different team. You're playing in front of Sweden. You're kind of at home. I mean, yeah, you're against Team Canada, but I mean,
best defenseman you have, like Hedman and...
Oh, Ekman Larson's there. Yeah. There's a couple of giant guys. I forget their names. But I'll say this. I think Canada's team kind of sucked, in my opinion. I remember telling you that I didn't think there was a legit score on that
team.
Well,
a lot of guys didn't even go.
Yeah,
right?
Like there was no Tavares. There was no one. Like we were talking about, like, oh, their top line's McKinnon and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, these guys are good players and stuff like that. But, I mean, when you're looking down the ice and you see McKinnon, and it's like, who cares, right? I mean, he's not going to burn you every time. It's not like a Tavares or like a bona fide Canadian all-star. So.
Well, and that hurt Canada because it went into a shootout.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were talking. It's like, well, who's shooter?
Who's going to shoot out? Yeah. Like
there's no hands on that team.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going in there and scoring. And what do? They oaf. They get not a single goal. And then the Sweden just scores the one and wins. It's like, well, no surprise there. But yeah, to get back to the Rangers.
So is there anyone on this team that you're looking at drafting, and then someone that's fallen off the radar?
Nash looked good, but again, he's regular season weirdo.
Ooh.
You can't really track him. He had some sweet goals. In that series, he had a jump in a step. Zuccarello looked good.
So are you thinking about Nash next year?
I don't know if I'll ever own Nash. It's one of those weird things. A guy who looked awful, though, was Derek Stepan.
Yep.
He was abysmal for a guy who's supposed to be a number one center. He was a ghost. Again, I don't know how this translates in regular season. He'll probably be hitting himself on the offseason, work harder, maybe come back stronger this season. I don't see a lot of fantasy value on a Rangers team, to be honest. Like I said, they're kind of all 50-point guys.
What about, like, McDonough or any of their defense there?
Brady Shea might do a little bit better next year. I'd have to see what they do, to be honest. I don't think I'll own a single Rangers on my team next year.
I'm kind of steering away, too.
I think if I had to pick one, I'd pick Zuccarello, honestly. And that's probably the only Ranger I would draft next year.
Or if you get Lundqvist at value.
Or I would take Lundqvist because there's still no backup on that team, and he'll still play, of course. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I can really say about them. VC didn't look very good, so I don't think he's going to be a sophomore. He's not showing up next year, I don't think.
No. So a couple of those younger guys just kind of faded away.
Yeah.
They didn't really do much. They didn't really show anything through their first round either.
No.
So.
No, it was like they got a gift in the first round against Montreal, so that's the only reason they're there. So yeah. A team that scores somehow less than they did, so whatever. Doesn't matter.
Okay, let's move on. Penguins-Washington, Game 7.
Yeah, the actual Stanley Cup Final in my brain.
It should be.
And I think a lot of people's brains. That was an incredible series. Went to Game 7. I remember predicting Pens in 5. They were up 3-1, so I wasn't totally wrong. Just Washington held out 2 more games. So, takeaways from Washington. Justin Williams was kind of mediocre.
I don't even think he was around.
Yeah, Kuznetsov was very mediocre. Ovechkin did fine. His 5-on-5 play is still brutal.
Well, they moved him to the third line. Everyone's talking about.
Yeah. So positives I'll bring up is Burakovsky. Burakovsky looked great. They moved him up to the top line. He was flying out there.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a permanent situation for the regular season, but I imagine with Oshie or some forwards are going to be gone. Like, they can't keep Williams and Oshie, so one of them is going to go.
Yeah.
Which means that Burakovsky should be a bona fide top six next year. So he's a guy I would definitely pencil in right now for someone who could probably get 55, 60 points.
Yep.
Definitely a late kind of guy.
Kuznetsov was really good, actually.
Kuznetsov looked great. He had heart. He was out there trying a lot of shifts. I was actually impressed with him. So he did pretty good. He's definitely a bounce back candidate for me. I'm sure a lot of people as well, because that was a very underwhelming season he had last year.
Someone that I'm not looking forward to picking next year would be John Carlson.
Yeah, I was just going to mention
that. Or like any sort of...
Yeah, I don't know Washington defense right now.
We'll have to see what happens in the offseason.
I mean, they very unlikely Shattenkirk returns. I'd say it's almost a 90% chance he doesn't return. So that, again, puts Carlson back in the number one spot, but he didn't really do much with it. Niskanen took his spot a bunch of times.
And like Orlov was playing a lot. Orlov was doing a lot. Orpik was playing. And
yeah. A bright spot for the Capitals was a guy you were talking about, and me were same thing, was Derek Schmidt. That
yes.
young defenseman, he looks really good. Hopefully he's going to start getting some actual minutes, because he was actually jumping in on the rush. He was actually trying to, like, I was impressed with him playing the big minutes. So he looked really good. Beyond that, everyone in Washington should still be where you draft them. Hope he should still be one or two goalie overall.
I'm still saying Ovechkin goes down.
Yeah, I mean,
in my mind, Ovechkin has already been trending downward the last two seasons.
I don't know. I love Ovechkin, but maybe that's his new ceiling is 70 points.
So we were talking about this when the game was happening, and I said that it's not a Ovechkin-Crosby debate for first pick anymore.
No, it's not even close.
So let's say your rating, let's say top 10, where does Ovechkin fall in that in your mind?
Like top 10 players or forwards?
Overall.
Overall,
yeah.
Not in the top 10.
Yeah, so in a redraft league, you're redrafting.
Yeah, redrafting, I'm taking Ovi in the second round, maybe. Late second round.
So not in the top 10.
Yeah, I can't see myself taking Ovi in the top 10. Over guys like Kane,
Kucherov. That's fair.
Goalies, yeah. There's no way. But again, you could argue Crosby could still be a number one or two pick in a fantasy redraft. So.
Yeah, Crosby still could be top 5 for sure.
Yeah.
Or he is top 5.
Well, he is top 5 for sure. Yeah, exactly. Just... whatever.
But Ovechkin has fallen out of that top 10 now.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. And that's what it is with Ovi. He definitely looked pretty slow. I think he was playing injured from what I was told and what I read about the Kadri hits and stuff like that, whatever. But I don't know. I don't think he's going to have a huge season next year. So
look for them to win the President's Trophy next year and then out in the second round-ish.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the teams that I'm obviously excited to see what they do in the offseason. If they blow it up, if they lose Oshie, if they lose...
Well, of course, want to see them.
Well, yeah. that's what I'm saying. That's the one team I'm looking for. I hope they don't let Oshie go. That's my main thing. But yeah, I couldn't really think of any major point sells for Washington beside those.
Now, let's move on to Ducks. Nashville was the next round.
Right.
Nashville won 4-2. These were the most recent games that just ended.
Yep.
One of the huge storylines here was that Gibson went out with an injury.
Yeah.
And Bernier had to play the last two.
Yeah.
And just was not half the man that Gibson was, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, especially that game six where the first three shots of the game, he let in two goals. He let in a couple soft, weird five-hole goals. He did not look good, so that definitely did not help. I mean, granted, you could say, oh, Nashville lost Johansson, they lost Fisher. Yeah, these are huge blows because, you know, losing centerman at any time in the playoffs is, like, massive because if you can't win a faceoff, you can't win a series, basically. So, anyway, talk about the Ducks. I'm a pretty big Duck hater, but they're actually a pretty good team.
I don't think anyone likes the Ducks.
I don't, like Getzlaff, how can you like
Perry?
Yeah, they're just like a
Kessler,
boring, evil team.
It's, evil.
I don't know what the word to say is. It's like, how do you watch the Ducks and be like, yeah, I love the Ducks, man. They just play so good. They do this. They do.
There are a couple people that like the Ducks in our league.
Yeah, there are. Like especially for sure one person anyway.
But it's like the Patriots of the NFL.
Yeah,
kind it's of. Like, no, we don't like that team.
Yeah, for sure.
It's universal dislike for that team.
For the Raquel, Ducks,
Raquel did really good.
Raquel looked good till he got injured. Richie looked good till he got basically kicked out of that game for boarding the guy from behind.
Yeah.
But yeah, Richie looked pretty good. I think Montour looks great. There's some really good young defensemen on that team. All the defense on that team looked really good, honestly, except for like BX and some of the older guys, of course.
I think they're going to be doing something with their defense in the offseason.
Yeah, from what we read about protections and stuff.
Yeah, so people were talking about trading up for picks or something in that first round.
Yeah, you can see.
A lot of people are going to be going and with the Vegas expansion and stuff. So.
Especially Dallas. I think they're saying that Dallas has like a third overall.
Yeah.
And they don't need a third overall. They need roster players. So they'll definitely ship that for a defenseman somewhere.
Yeah. And they have all the defense there.
Yeah.
Nashville really surprised me with like how balanced their scoring was.
Yeah, I mean, Sisson's getting hat tricks. like, who? Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, they're crazy. I thought for sure losing Johansson would like just cripple that team. But they bounced back pretty good. So
it still may hurt them versus the Penguins.
Yeah, Penguins are a different animal. But for sure against the Ducks, they definitely held their own. It was pretty cool. We'll have to see how much the center depth hurts them against arguably the team with the two best centermen in the NHL with Crosby, Malkin. So that's going to be a tough matchup for them.
Remember when we were talking at the beginning of the playoffs how it's not like one line of attack, one line of hitting, one line of like whatever. It's a four line thing, right? And that's what Nashville did this
year. Exactly. They were just deeper and when your fourth line guys are getting hat tricks and stuff like that, like what are you supposed to do, right? It's an unbeatable team. Other players on the Ducks, I mean, Getzlaff looked really good. I think he'll be fine next year. I think he'll probably bounce back to 75, 80 points.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing, 10 goals, 70 assists style.
What about Perry?
Perry's still too off, too
red. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you?
Yeah, well, it has to be. They're like hand in hand. You can't talk about one without the other. I don't know, when would you draft Perry?
Perry has sneaky value, and people don't see it, especially if you have a... fantasy.
Yeah, PIM leagues and stuff.
With PIM, and hits and block shots and all that stuff. It all adds up for Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets those, like, double minors and stuff, for rages, elbowing.
Knees, he does all of it, yeah, for sure.
So that stuff does happen for Perry. And, like, we were looking at his fantasy stats, and he was close to some of, like Tarasenko and stuff in our league.
Yeah, he had a lot of value for guys that were 20 actual physical points ahead of him, but his peripherals were insane because he was just... whatever, being a menace and getting all those extra stats. So
he's sneaky.
It
has to be the right league though.
It depends really exactly. Points only league, I'd say he's pretty near the bottom. I wouldn't take him in the top 15 rounds. Maybe he'd be my 150th player. Because does he get 55 points next year again? Like, does he just totally fall off and have 8 goals like 3/4 through the season? Like, I mean,
that was pretty bad.
I don't know. He's a scary player to me. The biggest player for sure is just Raquel. That's my number one guy to look at.
Oh, and actually, to single out one of the defensemen, Fowler did really well.
Yeah.
He played really well, and they gave him a lot of the minutes.
Yeah. He was the number one power play unit guy. Like, Lindholm didn't get anything. Vatanen didn't get much. So we'll have to see which one they cut loose there. Fowler looked great. I agree.
Okay, let's go to the last one that... just ended a couple days ago.
Yes.
Ottawa Penguins. Ottawa's heart run has stopped.
that was...
It was exciting.
An exciting last game.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a lot of that series, to be honest. I was too bitter from the previous series. Ottawa taking them to 7 was pretty insane, in my opinion. And I'm sure lots of people...
Double OT in game 7.
Yeah. Granted, Ottawa should have lost probably 4 times in that overtime.
Every game every that they game. Won, they should have probably lost.
So, players for Ottawa, I think the usual. Stone, Hoffman look good. Carlson's obviously a god. Anderson looked really good, if he can play a full year, which I think he will with his wife being, cancer-free and stuff like that. It should let him have a full year, and I think he'd be a very sneaky goalie.
Yeah.
I think he's a tier one goalie, like, literally.
Well, after the third period of that Game 7, I looked at you and I was like, I'm drafting Anderson next year.
Yeah.
I gotta take Anderson.
If he plays 60 games, he'll win 40 of them or whatever, and then you're set. So I think he's a goalie to definitely bump up to a top 10 goalie discussion, maybe even a little bit higher, because,
I would say on the fringe of top 5.
Like, he played fantastic. I'd have to do a personal list, but he's definitely up there for me. Like, he moved up a lot of spots, and I think he should be definitely mentioned in a lot of teams. We'll talk about the biggest surprise, which was our boy, Bobby Ryan.
Oh, Bobby Ryan is back.
Bobby Ryan is back. Expect 70, 30, and 40.
Wrong.
No, Bobby Ryan, please don't draft him again. There's not a reason. There's no whatever word I'm looking for here.
He has no upside at all.
Yeah.
Like, he might get 20 points, 25 points.
Yeah, I think he had 8 goals, 25 assists, which was good for, 33 points or something like that. That's a horrible, horrible year. Yeah, he was point per game in the playoffs, but who cares? Like, Cody Sisson's got a hat trick. I mean, come on. It's the same kind of idea. Like, some people show up in the playoffs, and he might be worth a late pick, but don't be the guy that takes him, please, early, thinking that he's all of a sudden back and he's going to get 30 goals.
Well, like, he was taken as someone's 7th forward.
Yeah, that's just preposterous.
That's like, so early.
That's so early.
When Bobby Ryan started doing well, Brassard got knocked down lines.
Yeah.
And he kind of vanished.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of Brassard in that series.
Which I think that Brassard is better than Bobby Ryan.
I would argue the same, yeah. I think Brassard's more a complete player. Bobby Ryan's all over the place. I mean, I don't know. My number one, sleeper would be Pageau. Obviously, he had a 4-goal game. But
is he draftable?
I think he's very draftable. I want him really bad next year. He's getting mega minutes, and he's talented. He's a scrappy player. I like him a lot. I think he's definitely a sleeper for this team. And that'd be my pick for that. I can't really think of anything else. Their defense is kind of random. I don't know. Like, outside of Carlson and maybe, like, I don't know, Phaneuf. But Phaneuf, you draft for the PIM, I guess. So.
Yeah, you don't draft for the points.
Yeah.
What was that defenseman that I was always calling out?
Oh, Gleason.
Gleason?
Gleason? Some weird name.
Yeah, he was playing a lot.
He was getting a lot of minutes. I've never heard of that guy before in my life. So I don't know if he was filling in for someone, but... still fantasy relevant, but that's just the kind of guys. But yeah, again, to reiterate, is just, again, Bobby Ryan, please. Like, just don't do it. Like, you don't go from 32 points to returning to 75 next year. Like, come on, that's insane.
Yeah, he's not going to do it. So all of that sets up a Nashville Penguins final.
Yes.
And I was so mad at the commentators when we were watching the Ottawa game. Because they said, oh, it looks like it's going to be a lot of gold and yellow in the finals. There was like a period left.
Yeah, it was like...
And they said this, and I was like, what are you saying?
Yeah,
what are
it
you
was jinxing? Like 2-1. It wasn't even like a blowout game. And the guy's like just so biased against Pittsburgh. I was like, oh my goodness.
And then Ottawa scores to take it into overtime. And I was like, why would you... Yeah. Like, they just wish that hate upon Ottawa players.
It's so bad.
So Nashville Pens, what do you think? Who's going to win? How about this? Let's go down goalie, defense, forward.
Sure.
Who has the advantage?
So it starts forwards. Pittsburgh, I guess. It's hard to pin anyone against Crosby and Malkin. They're both healthy and not injured. If Hornquist comes back, that's a huge thing.
But they don't have much around those guys. Like, Kunitz is playing top line.
Kunitz is getting minutes for some reason. Guentzel's had a massive dip in production. Sheary's a ghost. He's on the fourth line, I think, or something.
They got Rust.
They got, Rust, Wilson, your standard randoms that Pittsburgh always has. So, That's a tough one for me, but I still have to give the nod slightly to Pittsburgh just because of the two names alone.
It's very close, but just because Nashville doesn't have that star power.
Yeah.
Right? They don't have those
Forsberg's
A-plus guys. And, yeah. They just have a lot more A's, but they have no A-plus guys.
Like, there's just no forward on Nashville that I feel could have the impact of a Malkin or Crosby at any time.
And maybe the only one that I might have said, Johansson, is injured.
Yeah, maybe Johansson because he was looking pretty dominant. But Crosby could literally just win a game by himself. Like, that's just how absurd that player is. So I have to give it to the Pens. So defense?
I agree with the Pens.
Yeah,
the
Pens as well.
Okay. For the forward.
Yeah. Defense, I think we pretty unanimous, is Nashville.
It's got to be Nashville.
Nashville has 6 legit defense. Like, legit defense. I mean, when Subban's on your second pair, I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah.
And why did, like, Justin Schultz is back. He looked injured, like, so injured.
He scored a goal.
In game 7. Yeah, he scored a wrist shot, whatever. Good for him.
But they got Ian Cole and...
Oh, my God. Mata, who's the worst defenseman in the league, in my opinion.
Did not look good at all.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. So, yeah. Not as close as the first one. I'd say a massive swing towards Nashville for defense.
And yeah.
I'm sure 99% of the hockey fans should agree with that, hopefully.
Do you want to talk about your Nashville defense that you would suggest for next year?
Oh, yeah. Well, the guy I brought up is all of a sudden like a star now. Like,
yeah.
Ellis is apparently everywhere. So, I mean, yeah, I guess I'll pat myself on the back. But, like, it's insane the amount of stuff this guy's been doing. He's everywhere on that team.
Yeah.
He's
all of a sudden he has, like, an article in the Score.
Yeah.
And, got, like, NHL.com is putting articles about Ryan Ellis.
He's like, oh, the unheralded player of Ryan Ellis. I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, okay. I was like,
there goes your sleeper.
I was like, there goes my sleeper next year because I was, like, going to sleep on Ellis. Yeah, he looks fantastic. Ekholm, Subban, Yossi. I mean, the list goes on. That team is so stacked on defense. And none of them are injured, so it's going to be tough to beat them.
And then let's jump back to the forwards for a second for the Nashville forwards. We already talked about Arvidsson quite a bit, Philip Forsberg. Mm-hmm. Is there any other guys on there? Johansson?
I mean, Fiala looked good. Obviously, he's got injured. That fourth line looks really good, honestly. Sissons and those guys, they get a lot of stuff done. I actually was impressed with that line. Fisher should be back game 1. I'm not a huge Fisher fan, but
he's not draftable.
Maybe he'll have some impact in the playoffs, but again, not real life fantasy.
On the Penguin side, anyone that plays with Crosby, basically.
Yeah. Brian Rust to me is a playoff god.
Rust.
I just think he always has opportunities every game.
And you said that, and like, Shearer got demoted too.
Yeah.
A couple lines, so.
And then Kessel should be a monster, as always. He's always good in the playoffs, so.
Okay, let's go back to the goalies.
This is a tough one for me.
Murray or Rene?
Yeah, I don't know. Murray's won a Stanley Cup already last year.
Oh, please.
he's going to be the first goalie to win 2 rookie goalie Stanley Cups or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I feel Rene has more pressure on him than Murray. He's probably going
to
get
perform?
The higher quality. Yeah, he's got to perform, exactly. Because, I mean, if he's letting soft goals in, that team is going to just... It's not going to be good for them. Murray's not really a guy known for soft goals. He lets goals in, but they're usually your, you know, garden variety type goals. Yeah. He's not usually known for random goals.
His sample size is so small. That's the only thing I think about Murray.
It's tough.
Rene's been in this league for 10 years.
10 plus years. So many playoff series, everything, yeah. That's why I feel the pressure is so much on Rene to just shut it down and be good. Whereas Murray's like, yeah, whatever, I'll do what I did last year. You know, just try to be a good goalie. My team will score for me, go from there kind of thing.
I'm still not convinced that Murray is good. I've never seen him steal a game.
Well, this might be the series.
Have you seen him steal a game?
Maybe a regular season game. That
like, shots are 25. He gets 25 shots a game.
Yeah, Pittsburgh gets 40 shots a game. Like, it's, they pretty much just dominate. Oh, man.
But it is tough. I'm giving it to Rene.
If I had to go for, like, a one-on-one goalie duel in, like, a vacuum, I pick Rene. Because he's older. He's got the experience. He's a giant. He's just, the pedigree is insane. So, I would give the edge to Nash for Rene, slightly, if I had to pick one.
I think it's Nashville's time.
I agree. If you had asked me the series winner, I would say Nashville. The game amount is tough.
you know what? You almost have to give the goalie portion to Nashville because of their defense too, though.
Yeah, they got three goals. Because their defense on the ice.
Kind of is yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Nashville in six.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. I think if it goes to seven, Pittsburgh wins, just because Pittsburgh is disgustingly good in seven games. So
Nashville would have to have some colossal collapse.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh probably wins game one, but I think Nashville. I would agree. Six, five or six for Nashville. I'll say Nashville in seven. Why not?
You just said if it goes to game seven, Pittsburgh wins.
Yeah. Well, then I guess I disagree with you. I guess it's Nashville in six. I mean, I think Pittsburgh's just going to get grinded down.
Yes.
Nashville's a team that actually hits people. That's the thing. Like Pittsburgh and Ottawa, that was hilarious to watch because none of them hit each other. Yeah. Fanouf hit a guy once or twice a game, but.
Well, he got a penalty for it every time.
Yeah, but there wasn't like too much. Like, you mean watching that Ducks-Nashville series was insane. Watching that Oilers-Ducks series was insane, the hits they were throwing. Like, the Pens aren't used to, like, a massive Western team. Like, they arguably had a very easy trek through the playoffs.
And that's another thing we were saying in prepping for the podcast, that Penguins just had two game sevens.
Yeah.
And, like, hard game sevens, Washington and,
yeah,
then,
and then Ottawa.
On Ottawa. So guys that are talented, skilled, good goalies.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Pens, like, I hope, because I don't like the Pens.
No, yeah, I want Nashville to win by any means necessary. Yeah, obviously I can't be a Pens fan because Washington, but it's got to be Nashville. They have to. The defense has got to just pound these guys to oblivion.
Yeah.
And then, all things even, not any accounting for freak collapses, freak bounces, I'd say Nashville should win, which is weird because I kind of want to bet on Vegas right now because Pens are entering as a heavy favorite to win the cup.
Yes.
Yeah. So I kind of want to, a part of me like really wants us to be like, oh, I got like $200 and just be like, you know, put it on Nashville. And it's because like, it's just, yeah, they won the cup last year. Who cares? Like they played against
experience is valuable in these situations, but Nashville has been so rested.
Yeah. Anyone that's not like crippled out is like good to go.
Yeah.
Like that didn't have to have surgery on a femur or like a thigh. Like the other guys, they're all good to go. They're perfect. And if the defense can just make Crosby and Malkin ineffective, then like that's it. It's done.
And the Penguins still don't have like Letang.
No, they got nothing.
And those big names on the back end.
Yeah.
So
like, yeah, they got Daly now, but again, he's a small defenseman. Like these fourth line guys are going to just crush them. Like, yeah. These Sissons guys, these guys are going to be finishing their checks. They're going to be annihilating all these small forwards like your Sheerys. Like, it literally is, to me, in my brain, it's like Crosby and Kessel, Malkin versus Nashville.
Yeah.
It's just literally, if those three players can score more goals than Nashville can score, they'll win. And that's all it comes down to in my head.
Yeah.
They could.
Which is the weird thing.
And that's what's so gross about Pittsburgh. If Nashville can score goals, they should win. That's just what it comes down to.
Yeah. Maybe Murray will steal some games.
Maybe Murray will get one or two. He might. But I don't know. It's kind of a lackluster final, I guess, to say. I'm not very hyped for it personally. I know you're not really
too excited. Well, I want to be hyped for it because I'm a hockey fan, but it just doesn't feel...
Yeah, I know.
Like, I don't want to see Pittsburgh again.
Yeah.
I've seen them a bunch of times in the finals and stuff. Nashville, I'm excited to see for it, but they play such a, you know, toned down.
Yeah, they just, you know.
Just their style is lackluster.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch the games, and I'm sure they're going to be some good games, but, like, the whole final, I'm not hyped for.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not, like, on paper looking at this and being like, wow, this is a dream matchup. I'm going through all these things in my head. Like, oh, this is going to be sweet.
Or, like, if Ottawa made it. You're like this team that shouldn't be here in the final.
Yeah, I'd be even less interested.
You'd be less?
Yeah, I would be like, this team does not deserve to be there, and I'd say Nashville in four.
Well, that's probably correct. That probably would have happened.
Like, that would have been absurd if Ottawa made it. But I wish they did, unfortunately. But, yeah, one of the few playoff finals in history I just have not been remotely interested in. So hopefully that doesn't make me a bad hockey fan, but nonetheless... Still check it out. Hopefully Nashville pulls through.
And you know what? We were also talking about like individual storylines that we like to look for. Mm-hmm. Like we wanted to see Kessel get a cup because he was in Toronto for so long.
That's why I was so happy about Pittsburgh last year. Well, okay, Kessel last year. Was that like it's so sweet, this guy grinding out on terrible, being called that he eats hot dogs and cheeseburgers, and he arguably, in my opinion, should have won the Conn Smythe last year. Like they gave it to Crosby because, you know, it's the safest vote of all time. Yeah. So it was sweet to watch Kessel, like in his first playoffs, actually just totally earn it and earn a lot of people's respect. But now it's like, okay, I don't want anyone on this team to get any more cups. Like,
and that's the thing is, who's that individual player that you're maybe rooting for?
There's none.
Like Rene?
Yeah. At this point, yeah, it's like Rene, Fisher's been around forever, but I'm not a Fisher fan. I'm trying to think of old Nashville players. I mean, if you're a Subban fan, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're talking about how Weber must feel about how like the year he gets traded in like a very interesting trade that people have discussed about, his team goes to the final. Like, are you kidding me? He was the captain of that team forever, and the one first year he's gone, he goes to the final.
Yeah.
So I don't know where his allegiances lie. I wonder if he's still got to be rooting on Nashville. I hope so.
Oh, for sure.
But I imagine he's pretty bitter, and I feel for him so bad.
Yeah, I guess Subban is a good little storyline. Everyone on the Penguins has their cup.
Yeah.
From last year.
I was going to say, like, who cares? I don't want Kunitz to get another cup. Like, I don't want.
Do you want Murray to be the only goalie in history to have two cups as a rookie?
No, but I mean, it's cool.
It's never been done.
It's cool, I guess. It probably never happened again. I can't think of freak circumstances like that. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. There's some cool individual things, but
I'm still cheering for Nashville.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say if before we wrap up and do our kudos, if Nashville wins, who gets MVP?
If Nashville wins this series, it's because of the goalie. So, Rene.
I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, there's no other way unless... No, I mean, barring freak scenarios where some guy gets 10 goals or whatever, but I mean, in realistics, for Nashville to win, they need a goaltender because Pittsburgh shoots 40 shots a game, and I'm sure it's going to be not that high, but he's going to get tested a lot. So.
And then on the flip side, if Penguins win, I'm agreeing with you with Rene.
This is a tough one because if Penguins win, it's because of offense. So... honestly, Crosby probably.
Yeah.
Malkin, if he shows up. Malkin was kind of a ghost last series.
Malkin's a little more of a playoff performer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's just because Malkin puts the team on his back. And
yeah, same thing. It's one of those two big guys for me. There's not a chance it's a Pittsburgh defenseman, and there's not a chance it's Murray. Unless Murray pitches four straight shutouts for a sweep, I'd still be argued to say that I'd rather see it go to someone else.
Is the Conn Smythe for the whole playoffs or just the final?
It's the whole playoffs.
Well, I guess Murray didn't even play for half of them. So
yeah, that's the tough thing.
That would be weird.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, like, how he'd have to get it. It would be four straight. Yeah. It'd be Crosby versus, I guess, like I said, Rene would make the most sense for me.
Yeah, I say Malkin, Rene.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, if I had to pick one.
Let's tell the people where to find us.
Yeah, if you guys want to hit us up, I know it's been a while. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at FantasyNHLTalk. Give us your predictions on the playoffs, Conn Smythe early votes. Yeah, I don't know.
Anything.
Just anything.
Like, anything hockey related.
Tell us what you think was right. Tell us what you think was wrong. Give us your breakout players if you want. If you don't want other people to see it, I understand. You could PM us.
There we go.
That's fine. We'll check him secretly. We don't mind.
You know what's crazy about the people that are listening to this podcast right now?
Hmm.
Is that they are already planning for next year.
Yeah.
I have had lots of people like message us and say, you know, who's your picks for next year and start breaking down teams. I'm like, the playoffs haven't even,
I know,
they're not even done yet.
I know there's going to be another team next year.
We got lots to talk about once the team gets set up in Vegas.
Yeah. I think it was June 12th or July 12th. One of those 2 days, the protection list will get released. So I know that we're going to do, hopefully, find enough people to do it. We're going to do a kind of a mock draft to see which each player Vegas takes. Probably put like a $5 bet or something like that. And just whoever has the closest team wins. I recommend that to people. I think it'd be pretty cool to pretend to be an actual real life GM because you literally get to take one player from all 30 teams. You're pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this is probably going to be one of the most insane off seasons just because of that alone.
And just the way, it's working with the draft order.
Yeah, like literally taking 30 players out of an entire draft pool and just removing them from a team is insane.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been alive for an expansion team. Or, well,
old enough to draft.
Old enough to draft anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be crazy exciting to me. I want to see how Vegas holds up. If they're better than Colorado, probably.
Yeah, and where do you draft those players?
And right? Exactly. That's stuff I want to talk about.
We'll be talking about that as soon as the draft happens. We're probably not going to do a podcast after the final.
No, there'll be nothing to talk
about. Because, I mean, we talked about what we wanted to talk about today. Anyway.
If you want to shoot us stuff after, your opinions on the final, stuff like that, that's fine. But I don't think we'll do a reaction podcast to the final, unlikely.
No, probably not. And then through the summer, we're going to be dropping random podcasts, when like free agency.
Yeah, and the Vegas draft will be a huge podcast.
Vegas draft, we'll
talk about the entire team, all the 30 players, and do a little bit of line projecting.
Yeah.
See where, what's that guy's name? Brock Reed or whatever. I forget the first guy's name.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, no. The first drafted player plays, but yeah, so hopefully you guys, your playoff pools are running well, and I'm sure a few of them got busted already with Nashville going to the end, so
yeah,
we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, that's kind of what the summer is going to be looking like, just podcasts here and there when big stuff happens.
Yeah.
We're going to be starting the team breakdowns close to, September?
Early September, maybe do like a week, everyone once a week kind of thing.
Yeah, we're going to be doing all the teams there, so that's when you want to get your pens and notepads out.
Yeah, those will be
start statting out guys.
Yeah, those will be the per player, like the ones we did this year, like the hardcore deep ones, if you want like a little overview to refresh your mind.
Yeah.
If you're kind of a casual guy who just doesn't pay attention, then we can give you the whole insight of who's here now, where now, and just basically get you set up to, start drafting, get your mind wrapped around it.
And I was also going to talk to you about this after the podcast. I think we should do top 150. Your list and my list and then compare them.
I would be okay with that.
Sweet.
Because I know last time we talked about the NHL one.
Yep.
I
think we should do our own for fantasy, not for just points like the NHL does.
Yeah.
Hey, you like that idea?
Yeah, we could do one. That would be fun.
You don't sound too enthused about it.
No, I'm just trying to think about, I've never done a top 150 list. I'd have to literally.
That might be a lot of work.
I'd have to. I mean, I was thinking that's a lot of work. I mean, putting a guy at 30 when people think he's at 80. I mean, oh my goodness, that's gonna be a lot of flack. So, it'll be a thinker. I'm definitely down. I love fantasy. I'll crush it out. If people want to listen to my 150 list, I will definitely say it out loud.
Sweet. We'll do it. All right, let's do our kudos and then get out of here for the day. You want to go first?
Yeah, my kudos is it's kind of a weird kudos. Well, not really. My friend is making me a retro Raspberry Pi board. Basically what it is, it's like you could put like, it's like an emulator for like all these game systems. So I'm going to get, it has all the Super Nintendo games, NES games, a bunch of PlayStation games, and it's like a little box and you just plug it in your TV and you put a controller in it and you can just like play all these classics and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like a Raspberry Pi board is what you build it from. I'm not sure. There's lots of names for it.
So like Nintendo did one of those mini consoles.
Yeah, because there's a Super Nintendo version should be coming out this Christmas, they've been saying. So it's essentially that, but just like with everything. And so I should be grabbing a hold of one of those, and I'm looking forward to going through all those nostalgic games I had as a kid. So that's basically my kudos for right now.
Sweet. What's the game that you're looking forward to playing the most?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Like what?
Honestly, Chrono Trigger on Super Nintendo.
That's good.
Because I never played it, and I just have been in the dark ages of hype for that game, and I literally can't wait to finally sit down and play that game. So
that's one of the classics for sure.
Yeah, I just want to knock off all those, like, top games you hear about all the time. So that's my number one for sure.
That's cool. That's sweet. Okay, my kudos this week. At the end of this week, I'm going out of town and I'm going to visit a sensory deprivation tank.
Really?
Yes. So what it is, it's like a pill-shaped thing. It's kind of like a tanning bed, but it's filled up with salt water. Not filled up, but enough so you can float.
Yeah, like halfway, yeah.
So you float in there and they shut it. You can't hear anything, can't see anything, it's pitch black, and it's supposed to, like, quiet your mind,
right.
And they can play, like, meditation walkthroughs and stuff to help you relax, but it's supposed to, like, take off all your stress, and I know a couple people that have been in them and say they're amazing. They said their whole week after they go in one of these things is just, like, relaxed and calm, and
that's really cool.
So I'm going on next Saturday.
So how
test this out.
How long do you, is like an hour kind
it's
of
an hour
hour
yeah
okay
you can do like 45 minutes or up to an hour and
sure
they're popping up everywhere now. There's tons in Calgary and all over the place.
Yeah, I remember those were pretty rare. I remember like Joe Rogan was talking about them.
Well, he talks about it all the time on his podcast.
But I never heard of, I mean, where we live in Alberta, like, I mean, it's not something that just pops up everywhere. So that's super cool. Yeah, okay. That'd be nifty.
I'm looking forward to it. We're just going to go up for a day and test them out and see what it's like. So maybe I should just do a podcast just on that.
Yeah.
Let people know how it goes.
Do a Zen podcast.
We'll have like yoga music in the background and stuff. And
yeah, if people want to hear it. No, that's really cool. To elaborate on that, if anyone has done one, send us a PM or something like that, or a direct message on Facebook. I'd love to hear your experience. You can compare with Travis.
Yeah. This is a pre-kudos because I haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, looking forward to it. Exactly.
I'm excited for it. All right. That's all the time for today. Thanks for listening. We will see you guys in the off season. Go Nashville.
Exactly.